Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship here, Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether it's your very first time visiting or you've been coming here your whole life, we are so glad that you have made it in on this snowy Sunday morning to worship with us. We have a few announcements here to get us started.
As cold as it feels, the words that are in the bulletin say St. Joseph's is on December 20th. It's not. It's on February 20th. So look at the sign-up sheet, and we still need some more food and some more people to help prepare on Friday night. So if you can stop at the kiosk and look it over and see how you can help, that would be appreciated. And also, Frona has generously offered to stand at the bulletin or at the kiosk and take monetary donations and hugs if you don't want to go out to the grocery store. We'll take your money and go shopping for you. So we'll make it as easy as possible. So thank you.
We have youth group next week. Junior highs, we're going to be serving at St. Joe's. So meet here at the church at 10. I would say wear closed-toed shoes, but I think you'll figure it out. And we'll serve lunch, eat lunch together, and be back here around 2. Senior highs, we're doing Laser Quest next Sunday. So don't worry about bringing a lunch. We'll get pizza, and then we'll head out right after Sunday school. All right. Now, during this time of Lent, to celebrate what we're doing in our church and what's happening in our community, we're going to be sharing minutes for mission at the beginning of each worship service. So we have time to learn together and to celebrate what GPC does to serve God. And Mary's got our first one.
I made big font this week, so I wouldn't have to use my glasses. Rochester Emergency Action Committee for the Homeless, or REACH, is an organization that's opened and operates a temporary emergency shelter for our area's chronically homeless this winter, those who have nowhere else to go. REACH Home, which is located at 80 Prince Street, it's the old rectory associated with the Our Lady of the Americas Church across from the Auditorium Theater, has 31 beds and has the capability to manage up to 40 as needed. And for most of this winter, it's been actually operating at that full capacity. Because the shelter operates 24/7, it has the ability to have a full team of social workers work with the guests during the day, and they can get services offered that otherwise they wouldn't have. And knowing that a solid foundation of housing is critical to stabilizing a homeless person's life, REACH Home operates with a housing first philosophy. Housing first is an approach that emphasizes stable, permanent housing as a primary strategy for ending homelessness. And after about a month and a half of operation, close to 2 months now, REACH Home has been able to place over 15 people into permanent housing. So it's a model that's really working well. Funding for REACH Home is accomplished through a public-private partnership with community donations and a partnership with both the City of Rochester and Monroe County. The primary source of funds, though, is community fundraising. Dinners are prepared and served by volunteers each night. And, in fact, GPC has already served 2 meals, and another 2 are scheduled. Guests staying at REACH Home manage all the household chores. So they're doing laundry, they're keeping the place clean, and if you go over, you will see that it is kept very clean. There are several ways that people can help: financial donations, supplies and clothing donations, preparing and serving meals, and just coming and interacting with the guests. They're wonderful, and they really enjoy sitting down and either playing games or having a conversation. Information about the shelter and how to get involved can be found at the REACH website, which is reachrochester.org. And there's a whole bunch of information on the bulletin board outside of Melissa's office if you want to learn more. And in fact, there's a story that I have from one of the guests that's now moving into an apartment that I'll be posting on the bulletin board as well. It's a very heartwarming story. Thank you.
Just in case you didn't see on Facebook, or for those of you who don't Facebook, our Jamaica team has made it safe and sound. They touched down in Jamaica. They are exhausted, and things are looking good for a wonderful week of mission and service. So now let us worship God together. Please stand and join us in the call to worship. We have traveled through the wilderness to join together and worship God in this space. God offers us a home to live in together, sharing all that God has blessed us with. God answers our pleas for guidance and is our sure foundation. We open our hearts to God's promise and celebrate God's love.
Thank you.
Would you join me now for the prayer of confession as you find in your bulletin? God invites us to hold fast to what is good and share peace with everyone we meet. But often we fall short. We have hoarded our resources, afraid and uncertain. We have let our own ambition and ego distract us from God's presence in our lives. We know that God's grace can fill in the cracks of our lives and show us a better path. May we move forward with the assurance of love that will not lead us, even as we confess our own failings silently. Let us now take a moment for our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Even before God hears our cries for help, God's love is available for us. Grace is abundant. We are forgiven through Christ. Thanks be to God.
you. And now it's time for all the children to come up front and come down right here. We've got something to share.
Definitely have the junior choir here up here today. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Okay. That was a beautiful anthem, by the way. Thank you, guys. Has anybody here ever built with these blocks before? Yeah. With smaller, like the smaller Legos? Perfect. Awesome. So here's what I noticed. When I build with blocks, if I put a whole bunch of them straight up, it gets really wobbly. Right? Does it fall very, or it'll fall over kind of easily. It doesn't stand up too well. But I have this little foundation here that I'm going to use this morning. And when I use the foundation to build on, it makes it a stronger building. Right? So then it doesn't wobble as much when I'm building up higher. Right? So just like you want to make a good foundation when you're building something, we want to have a good foundation too, right? So guess what our foundation is? God's love for us. That gives us a nice base so that we can build up and we can create our own people and become wonderful, steady people with his love. So, and Tommy wanted to add something to that.
And when you have that kind of faith, you will, you won't, even when you're hungry and out in the woods with nobody, you won't feel alone. And when you're hungry, you'll believe that God will help you when you feel hungry.
All right. So let's say a quick prayer. Can you guys bow your heads? Dear God, please help us to feel your love as our foundation. Amen.
Thank you. Our first reading this morning comes from Psalm 91, verses 9 through 16. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall come before you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear up you, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent will trample under your foot. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they come to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation.
Our next scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Listen for God's word. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Friends, this is God's word for us today. Thanks be to God. Well, welcome to winter. We avoided it for a long time, but it's finally here. We now have proof that as soon as Melissa leaves for Jamaica, snow starts falling. I'm even more jealous of the seniors who are there right now, since we are stuck with snow. Who said they wanted a white Christmas a couple months ago? I know you're out there somewhere, and I'm blaming you for this. Now that it finally is starting to look like Christmas outside, I'd like to tell you about a Christmas present that my grandma gave all of the grandkids a few years ago. It was the first year I was dating Philip, and he came back to Nebraska with me for the first time to meet my family. Wanting to make sure that he felt included, Grandma had him hand out everybody's Christmas presents, little snack-sized Ziploc baggies full of dirt. "Be careful with these," she warned him. "They are very important." Poor Philip. It's his first Christmas. He's still trying to learn all of my uncle's names, and he's supposed to give people dirt as presents. He can't tell if it's a prank or not. He was very politely confused, but when Grandma explained, things made more sense. The bags were filled with soil from our family farm. Grandma and Grandpa had raised their four boys on the farm, welcomed us grandchildren for visits, and hosted guest preachers for the night. They'd lived there for 50 years, and finally rented it to a trusted neighbor when Grandpa passed away. That Christmas, us grandchildren were getting ready to graduate and move out into the world further and further from that family farm. And Grandma wanted us to take part of our home with us. It's important to keep something that reminds you who you are and where you came from. I loved getting to take that handful of soil with me as we've moved further and further away from Nebraska. Now I'm here, not too far from farms, but several states away, and I like having something to anchor me back to my family. It's good to have a reminder of the home that my family made and the things they've taught me. Things are easier when you have a strong foundation. You need a steady place to grow from, rich, dark soil that can support growth and new life. You need something to anchor you when times get tough. Without that foundation, it's easy to get swept away by temptation or distractions. We pray to God every week to lead us not into temptation, as if we aren't already tempted by things. We're tempted all the time. It's tempting to get into an argument on the internet. It's tempting to cut somebody off when they're trying to turn, or to talk about a friend behind their back. Temptation is everywhere, and it shows up in all these sneaky little ways. But temptation for Jesus isn't a little thing. It's larger than life, and shows up in person in this passage. Jesus has been fasting and wandering in the wilderness for 40 days. He has to be ridiculously hungry and thirsty, weary from his journey. He's been alone for ages. This is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, before he performs any miracles or calls his disciples. He's just out here, alone in the hot desert sun, trying to figure out who he is and what he's going to do. The devil comes to Jesus when he's starving, so weary that a gust of wind might just push him over. And then he starts to be questioned. If you are truly the Son of God, why not prove it? Why not do some heavenly name dropping and just get angels to take care of you? Wouldn't you be happier if you just gave up this traveling and didn't worry about other people? We read about Jesus' temptation every year at the beginning of Lent, because it's right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is when he was asked, "If you are truly the Son of God, what will happen? What does the Son of God do? Will he use force to take what he wants and become a king on earth?" Throughout Lent, we take this own season before Easter to take stock of who we really are. It's a time to think about what really matters to us as Christians, what motivates us and calls to us. We have 40 days in Lent to give up the things that distract us or worry us, and to practice on our faith. And right now, we have this time to figure out who we are. Temptation is supposed to be difficult, and I can't imagine something harder than being tempted with food when you're starving. The devil asked Jesus, "If you are truly the Son of God, why not make things easier for yourself?" And Jesus has to figure out if that truly fits with who he is. If he is God's Son, what rules does he have to follow? If he can do anything, what really matters? We don't have any record of Jesus pausing or worrying or trying to figure things out much, because Jesus knows exactly who he is. He's grounded in the certain, sure knowledge that he is God's beloved Son, come to share that love with the world. He knows exactly how he needs to serve. Jesus is grounded in God's love, with all the grace and power of God as his foundation. With all that, being hungry doesn't matter too much. If Jesus is truly the Son of God, he can use his power for selfish reasons. But he's grounded in the scriptures, and he remembers what was written. He knows that temptations are nothing in the face of God's love.
He has the gospel truth of God's grace as his foundation. And it's easy to ignore those whispers of doubt with love in every part of his being. Jesus is God's son, and he's anchored by God's selfless call into love and service. He comes out of the wilderness certain of who he is and what he has to do to lay the foundation of grace in the world. So now I'm wondering, what anchors you? What anchors us here in this church? We know about our foundation, a love for God that leads us to share that love by reaching out to people around Rochester, feeding them through lunches at St. Joe's, dinners at Reach, canned goods stacking up to take over to Swim. We love our youth, and so we support their trips to teach children in Jamaica and learn from our brothers and sisters who worship there. The values and the passions that bring this church alive are right here in our community. We get to share them every week. I love seeing how we share our love of Christ, how we teach that love to others and help it to build us up. And with a foundation that strong, the wilderness gets a lot less scary. There are plenty of wilderness moments in our own lives. Last year in Lent, we talked about wilderness the whole time, and there was enough to go round. There are times when we need to figure out who we are, what we're supposed to do in the world. We get lonely and separated from the people we love. We thirst for the answers that we need. We're tempted to just give up or curl inward. It feels like it'd be easier to be selfish and focus on ourselves rather than reach out and connect with others. But when we feel like we're adrift in the desert, it's the perfect time to remember the foundation of our faith. God's love is here for us, in easy times and in hard ones. When we need comfort, God's grace and forgiveness are waiting for us. And when we need shelter, Christ's love protects us from our own doubts, reminds us that we are worthy of being loved. We don't have to worry about every single thing in our lives, especially if it feels like troubles are piling up and it's hard to tell what to do next. If we are truly children of God, we are anchored in God's grace no matter where we travel. We have all the strength we need through God's support and the comfort in people around us. Here in the beginning of Lent, we have time to check our own foundations and share and remember exactly what grounds us. And there are times when it can be hard to figure out how to act, but we talk about this often enough that we can help support each other and bring people along with us, secure in God's love. What do we do next is one of those questions that we talk about a lot in confirmation class. The perfect time. Ninth grade, people have just come into high school, and they're beginning to become members of our church, adults who can help to lead us. We can grow together. So when we're trying to get students ready in confirmation class, it seems like there's always one more thing to talk about on the list. But one of the things that we sort of start with is the rule of love. The idea that if the scriptures are stacking up and you're not sure what you're supposed to do, whichever answer shows the most of God's love, whichever answer means that God loves us so much, it must be the right one. When it's difficult to find your path, our foundation stays in the rule of God's love. If we are truly God's children, how can we not reach out to feed the hungry and comfort the lonely? You're all called to look exactly at what anchors us and what an amazing foundation Christ's love is in our lives. We're called to share that love with every one of God's children. It's a simple expression of who we are. We don't help others because it's easy or our only choice, but because it's the right thing to do. With that strong foundation, doubts can fall away, and our path is clear. You have a strong foundation. It's easy for other people to see it, too. Alex Asali fled Damascus in 2007. He was one of the earliest refugees in a wave of people fleeing Syria for safer places. He found safety in Germany, and he began to slowly heal in his new home and put his life back together. After a few years, he wanted to give back to the people who had helped him so much. So Alex didn't wait for someone to tell him what to do, or for an easier moment. He began cooking and sharing free hot meals with the homeless people on the streets of Berlin. Every night, he takes out his little card table and crock pots and sets up food to hand out to anyone who might need it. Alex could have let fear keep him separated from others or focus more on his own needs. But he didn't worry about himself and stayed anchored in gratitude and love. He works hard to help others and share his own blessings. And it's amazing how much we can do when we remember the foundation of God's love in our lives and let it ground us as we move forward. May we all remember that in our confusion and our doubt, we are still anchored in God's love. If we are truly children of God, we remember Christ's grace for everyone and live out his call to service. May the foundation of our faith give us strength and help us to share our blessings and our love with others. Amen.
Thank you.
Now comes the time in our service when we get to celebrate and give thanks together for all the joys in our lives, and also share news about the people we love so much that we want to lift up in prayer and comfort. Who has something they'd like to share today?
Last week I asked for prayers for Anna Burley and her friend Larry down in Kentucky. He came through the surgery wonderfully. He's back home, but they still need prayers for the next part of his cancer treatment, which will be radiation, and I'm not sure when that will happen. And also prayers for our neighbor Lori, who is dealing with heart problems. Thank you.
It's for Lori and for Larry's health.
Dick Stewart. We would like to ask prayers for our daughter Sheila, who's suffering from some severe migraine headaches. So please pray for Sheila. And I'm very proud to say that this lady in front of me has tolerated me for 44 years.
All right. Congratulations.
Nancy Hasenlop, Jennifer was supposed to go on the Jamaican trip this week. She was sent home from school on Thursday. She had passed out, and then she was sick for several days. She, even though they were supposed to meet at the airport at 3:30 in the morning on Saturday, she just couldn't make it. She was still getting sick at 3 o'clock in the morning before the trip. So she made the decision not to attend. The good news is she's feeling better. The bad news is she's feeling better. So keep her in your prayers as she sees her friends in Jamaica. Mm-hmm.
Good morning. My wife, Carrie, is now with us. This morning she went over to her brother and his wife's house last night. They were on their way to the hospital, but it is a joy. We have a new nephew, probably about 6 hours after she went over there. So she is very happy. There's nothing wrong with that. So good things come out of not so good weather.
Chris Thornton, thankful to be feeling a lot better. Thank all of you for your prayers and concerns while I had my doubleheader surgery at Highland last week.
We're so glad to see you here.
Heather, Pam, I just wanted to wish my daughter, who's in Jamaica, a happy 18th birthday today. She's my Valentine baby, so... just prayers for their safe travels.
Janice Bilalovic. Like prayers for George's cousin, Debbie. Her husband had a massive heart attack this week and passed away.
Prayers for Debbie. Well, we have a lot of prayers from the Sunday school as well. Yeah.
Sorry. Prayers for our little girl who is a friend of our family. Her name is Aviana. She's just been sick the last, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. She's missed school. They can't figure out what's going on. She gets better, and then she's sick again. Fevers and antibiotics, and it's just been a struggle for the family. So we ask for prayers for them. Thank you.
Prayers for Aviana. There's a lot to celebrate from the Sunday school today. Prayers of joy for birthday parties, for a trip to Disney World and chocolate. Prayers of concerns that dogs have got to the Valentine's candy, but things seem okay. Prayers of joy for trips coming up and gifts. And also that a friend has raised money for the American Heart Association. There are also many prayers of worry that the Sunday school wants to share with us. Prayers for Jennifer Hasenlop. They're all hoping we'll feel better soon. I'm sorry that she is not in Jamaica. Prayers for a grandpa who's hurt his arm. And prayers for the death of a Supreme Court justice. We lift up Anshin Scalia's family. Help them as they mourn. Let us all pray together. Holy God, we know that you are our rock and our foundation. You support us in hard times. You keep us grounded. And give us your life and your love and the chance to grow up strong with your joy. Help us to feel your love everywhere we go. Help us to be a source of love to others, to be a support in times of grief, help in times of loneliness. May we remember to reach out to each other, that everyone has someone to lean on. God, we give thanks for our group in Jamaica. May they be happy there and share joy with others and share your love. God, we also lift up Jennifer in her grief and knowing how much she wanted to go and serve you. May you hold her in comfort and give her a good time here at home. God, we ask all of these things knowing that no matter where we go, your love anchors us and draws us back, that we may always feel your love and grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. We are grateful that Jesus Christ brought us together and taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now comes the time for us to collect our offerings and to give thanks to God through our gifts.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, during the sacred season of Lent, bring us closer to you. Prepare a place in our homes and our hearts for silence and reflection so that we can rediscover the grace of a prayerful life. Make our hearts larger so that we can give to those in need, and in so doing so, rediscover the grace of gratitude and generosity. May this season be a joyful time to renew our love for you and faith in you. It is always good to come home, O God. Amen.
Love God, serve your neighbor, and know that no matter where you go, God's love will hold you fast, and the grace of God will be guiding you every step of your way. Amen.